Let's see where to start. First of all, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share. I have a couple, a little bit of graphics to show you. If I pin this, can you see me large on the screen? Is that, can I see a thumbs up for that? Awesome. Wait. The Zoom thing is pretty funny where you would give thumbs up and it does emojis. So I'm still just getting used to that. So I'm going to go through the presentation today is actually called Mind Memes, Navigating Your Inner Internet. And I'm going to take you through a couple things. Originally, I thought, memes are kind of fun. I'm sure, you all have some favorite memes. I'm curious if you feel free to share some, drop some in the chat. That would be fun. I went through this presentation making a whole bunch of memes, and then I kind of pulled them back because I got a little bit silly. So I really want to focus on a couple things today. And if we have a little bit of extra time, I'll show you some of the extra silly memes that I made that I didn't end up including in the presentation. So, what are we going to do today? Today, what I'd like to talk to you is really about the mind and a simple way of understanding what the mind is and a way that you can have better control over it. I think sometimes it's easy to let our mind wander and to let our mind kind of take over and move us into places that we don't always like. And a lot of times when that happens, we feel like, or sometimes we think like, why is this happening? Or feeling stuck in certain places. So, by the end of this presentation or by the end of this workshop, I hope to present to you at least one useful way, a way of thinking, of looking at things and changing your perspective, so that you can better use the mind and the mental resources that you have available to you. I'll give you a practical recommendation for how you can include this in your everyday life. And by the sounds of some of what I've heard already, you're probably all doing this already. So let's get into this. I'm going to talk to you in about three, well, in three parts. First, I'm going to talk to you and give you some information about the mind and how it's like the internet. So there's a user. We'll talk about what the inner internet is. And then the user guide is kind of where I'll go through how to take that actionable step. I really love when you're saying that really that doing is the part that will help you kind of move forward. And I think you're going to see that theme throughout this workshop. So, starting with the user, what does the user mean? When I was thinking about this presentation and reflecting on it, I was reminded of a project that I was doing in grade six. It was one of the first projects that I had to do. And what I remember of it that really stood out is actually having to go to the library and find books. Now, you may have libraries and you use libraries in some ways, but a lot of that has shifted to the internet now. Libraries, of course, used to be, full of books and full of knowledge, but sometimes it's really hard to access. You may have a helpful librarian that can come and talk to you and help direct you in the right place. When I think about that, I thought about that because I was thinking of how our mind works like the internet, where we have so much information within us and we just need to know how to access that. And I think having the internet right now, when we're using the internet, we're going ahead and just searching things and we have all of this information coming in. And really, what we search for, what websites we put in, and what we look for is really what we'll find from the internet. And our mind works very similarly. So let's take a look at that. This on the screen now is a simple model of your mind. I break it down into two parts. One is the conscious part, and I would call that the user. That's the part that you're using right now to kind of pay attention, and you can hear my voice, you can see the screen. The other part of it is the unconscious part, and I call that the inner internet because it's really all of these, it's a big network of resources and information, thoughts, feelings, memories, ideas that you've had in the past, all stored somewhere. They're just not present at the moment. So, when we're taking our conscious mind to find a particular direction, that's what the information that we'll get from our unconscious mind or that inner kind of resource. So thinking of just those two parts, here's my first meme. Which part does the most work? If you're thinking of the conscious mind or the unconscious mind, is it the part of you that's like thinking about what to do next that really has most of the power, or is it everything else? Feel free to drop that in the chat. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and just give you some examples, some things to think about, and then we can revisit this question. So right now, I'd like you to consider what you notice. So, as I'm talking, you can probably hear my voice, I hope. when you go on enough Zoom meetings, usually the first question is, "Oh, can you hear me?" But I hope that you can hear me, and also you can see me on the screen. So these are some of the things you notice. And you may also notice just that you're sitting in a chair. You can feel that underneath you. But in a moment, I'm going to draw your attention to some things that you might not be thinking of at this very moment. And really, the idea there is this is the parts that are kind of unconscious that you're not thinking of. So now, if you think about your breathing, can you notice that? Where was that before you noticed it? Well, it was always there. It was just unconscious. It was out of your conscious awareness. If I draw attention to your toes, whether you're in shoes or socks or bare feet, now you can realize that they're there. And of course, one of my favorites is the feeling of your tongue in your mouth. It's kind of an odd sensation, but when I draw that to your attention, now you can notice that there's a feeling in your mouth. Your conscious mind controls your attention. Usually, in some ways, it just might be something that you notice. So, something like this. Your conscious mind is it, "Oh, did you notice that? Oh, yeah, I just noticed it." And sometimes it's easy to get distracted where you're just kind of noticing all the different things that are going on, distractions and whatnot. But really, there is a way of controlling your attention and directing that. And the way to do that is really to understand what you want to focus on and use your attention to focus on that. It sounds simple, but sometimes it's difficult. That way of thinking or using your attention is called intention. So when you control your attention based on what you want, then you now have an intention. You have an intended action or a plan or something that you want to achieve. And I find that the idea of intention will focus your attention on the things that you want. So before we move on to talking further about the unconscious and how focusing your attention and asking the right questions can pull out the information that you want, I'll put this out there to all of you. Are there good thoughts and bad thoughts? What do you think? Feel free to raise your hand or throw some comments in the chat. Do you think there are good and bad thoughts? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Yeah, I see some thumbs up in the cameras. So, sure, there definitely are some good thoughts and some bad thoughts. And sometimes when we're thinking about these things, good and bad usually has an association with right or wrong or better and worse. And, there are some things that we all agree are good or bad, but sometimes the things that are confusing become our feelings or our thoughts. And if we start to label some of the things that we feel or think as good or bad, that can be a little bit difficult. So sometimes, even we can't feel happy all the time. So if we sometimes feel sad, is that a bad thing? I think a better way, and I'll just offer you a different way of thinking or framing your thoughts and your feelings and your experience. Instead of good or bad, in some circumstances, it might be useful to ask the question, is it useful? Or is it not useful? Okay, so going back to that example of feeling sad, is it a good or a bad thing? Well, I think a better question is it useful or not useful? If you're feeling sad, then it's probably useful for you to feel sad for some time so that you can process those thoughts and those feelings, and it's probably not useful to ignore them. I'm not sure if you've had that experience of ignoring things that you probably shouldn't be ignoring, and it builds up and builds up and becomes something much bigger. So rather than thinking good or bad, really it's, to me, thinking more along the lines of, is something useful? And then the question becomes, it's useful. If it is useful, what's the situation it's useful for? So then understanding the circumstances that you're in can really change how you view your thoughts and think about how you use your mind. So now let's go into talking a little bit about the unconscious mind, this inner internet, this kind of wealth of resources that you have available to you. If your unconscious mind is the internet and the web browser is your attention, what you choose to focus on then is what your unconscious mind will present to you. So if you were going to a website, or if you were going, you know, surfing on social media, you may have things in front of you and you can decide what you want to look at. So a fun example of this is, if I were to ask you to think of an apple, now you can think of an apple because you've gotten that direction from myself to think of an apple. You might be thinking of what you're going to have for lunch later. You might be thinking about where you're going to go, what friends you're going to see. And when I mention some of those things, those thoughts and images may start to come into your mind. So in the same way as I just did there of offering you different things to think about, you can do the same with your intention and your attention to direct and show you, kind of pull the things out from inside, so that you can begin to direct your attention or use your unconscious in a useful way. So all of that is to say that your unconscious mind basically will give you what you ask for. Its role there is really to do what's best for you. And when you ask it good questions or give it good direction, it's going to do the best thing that it can for you. A quick example that I can think of is, you know, I'm sure you've all studied for tests. Is that right? Yeah. You've probably had tests that you've had to prepare for and study for. And sometimes, anybody worried about tests in the past? I know that that's happened to me, right? Having a big test. And so I'm glad that it's not just me and it's a common experience. One thing that I realized after thinking about this a lot is, in those times when I was anxious or thinking or worried, focusing on the fact that I was worried just made me think more about how I was worried. Really, it wasn't useful at that time, because really what that signal to me was, that feeling of worry, was saying I should spend the time studying. So rather than spending the time worrying and worrying about, like, oh, will I be able to study, and, you know, how well will I do on the test, instead of putting the energy there, moving my direction over to, well, I understand what that that's telling me. It's telling me to go and study. So I'm going to put something on the screen here just for you to look at. And when I put up this image, if you've seen it before, that's awesome. If you haven't, put into the chat what you see. Okay. So in this picture, what do you see? Who do you see? Take a minute, and if you want to type it into the chat, that would be cool. This is one of the first optical illusions that I can remember seeing myself. How many people see a young lady? Yeah, I see. So everybody sees a young lady. How many people see an old lady? All the hands come down. Now, where's the old lady? I'm going to put the two pictures side by side, and they're actually both the same pictures. But if you look carefully, the young lady is looking away, kind of where her chin is. It kind of is where it meets her furry coat. But if you look at that in a different way, where that chin is actually a nose, and the necklace is actually a mouth, and her ear is an eye, now you see maybe an older lady. Y'all see the old lady there now? No. Let me see if I'm not sure if I can draw this out for you, but I can send you a picture here later. But really what it is if you look this necklace, so you have a lady looking away like this. The old lady is kind of looking off to this corner, and you have the nose coming down into the chin there and the mouth. And you may, and sometimes this is a really good example of how our attention can sometimes show us different things with what we see. So this is again a great example of noticing how the direction that you're looking for. First, everybody saw the young lady, and after some direction of your own attention, noticing different features, now you can see something different. So this is in one way a good example of how you can see different things even when you're looking at something that hasn't changed. Both of these pictures are the same, but you can start to see different features and you see a whole different picture depending on where you look. So what is a useful way to direct your mind? I think a lot of the things that you've said already in the introduction here, talking about trying to take action and to put up your hands and get out there and speak, just the practice of doing those things is really great. Sometimes the feeling of actually being comfortable doing that is not always there. I know when I first started to do some public speaking, before I would get up on stage or on screen or in front of an audience, I was feeling very nervous. I had no idea what to expect. And it is a little bit nerve-wracking to begin with. But after doing it many, many times, it definitely becomes easier. So there are so many different ways. And in this short time that we have together, I want to give you one of the biggest ways. One small thing, really, that done over and over again will really add up to really big things. And that useful way to direct your mind is to focus on appreciation. Appreciation is something where you want to focus on things that that make you feel happy or lift you up or things that you can be grateful for. And this is in the final section of this workshop here, what we're going to focus on. So I'm going to give you a user guide, a crash course on how to focus on appreciation. I'd like you for a moment just to think about when you talk, having conversations with your friends. When you're talking with your friends, what kind of topics do you talk about? Is it usually things that you have in common, things that you like? Maybe it's a TV show, some YouTube video, maybe it's a sports team, or who knows what else. It could be anime, music, all of those wonderful things. I guess I should ask, are there any K-pop fans in here? Yeah, I see a little finger and a hand up. Nice, awesome. I got into BTS like during the pandemic, and I had nothing to do, and I was just watching BTS videos all over, and now I'm like just all about the K-pop. So I love it so much. I love talking about things that I love, but I know sometimes we also see that we focus on things that we don't like. So, how many sometimes talk with your friends about things that you don't like? Maybe complaining about something that happened during the day and talking through some of those things. How you go through and choose your conversations sometimes can affect how you feel, right? When you're talking about things that you like, you're probably feeling happy and excited and fun, like having those types of feelings. And on the other hand, if you're thinking about things that you don't like, complaining, or just things that you're worried about, they may make you feel less good. So, with respect to appreciation, what I'm going to share with you are three questions that you can revisit and ask yourself to focus on appreciation. really, when we ask these questions, you can ask them consciously from your conscious mind or as the user. And when you ask this question, you'll start to get some answers. So just like I said, if you want to think of an apple, you can think of an apple. When I ask these questions, you may think of some things that come to mind as well. So the first question that I'll share with you, and these are kind of really simple. There's nothing complicated or too fussed about any of these things. Just nice and simple questions. The first one here is, what made you smile today? It's rather early for you, 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. in the morning. For me, I've had a full day. And one of the things that's making that made me smile was that I spent spent dinner time with the family. We went to this Italian restaurant that we love, and we had a wonderful time, lots of conversation, and just lots of silly jokes. That made me smile today. What made you smile today? Is that a hand up or just scratching here? Yes. It's Mohammed. Nice. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah, I was, I went through a meme generator. It was my first time actually making memes, although I've seen many on the internet. So my meme game may not be that strong, but I had fun while I was doing it. Thank you so much for sharing that. So this is a great question that you can ask. And really, it focuses on things that happened in the past that were good. So really, it's thinking about good things that happened in the past. What made you smile today? You can say, what made you smile yesterday? Or what just makes you smile in general? The next question that you might consider is, what are you looking forward to? What are you looking forward to? So again, this is looking forward. For me, I'm actually going on a trip in about a week. I'm looking forward to that. It's a big conference where I'm going to see some friends that I haven't seen before, but friends that I haven't seen in a while. So I'm looking forward to that. And I think that, who knows? Summertime is also really nice because of the weather here. Over here in Canada, we have a lot of snow in the winter, and it's not my favorite to be shoveling snow all the time. So I am looking forward to spending summer snow-free. Is there anybody that's looking forward to anything in the next short term? You might even be looking forward to what you're having for lunch. Yes, I see a little hand up here. This is, please. Amazing. Yeah, all that hard work is paying off, and you'll see that coming up very soon. I think I saw Lisa's hand up, if I got your name right. What are you looking forward to? Nice. Awesome. I love that. I love that. And maybe I'll ask you two things. One, for the two of you that answered, was it difficult to come up with that answer? When I asked the question, was it hard to get to? And then the second is, now that you're thinking of those things, how different do you feel? Right? I find when I'm thinking about things that I appreciate, it's like a lightness. It's like, like a expansive light feeling. And it's much nicer than holding on to some of those heavy thoughts, although sometimes it does happen. So as simple as asking, what are you looking forward to? And then just either thinking it, verbalizing it, or writing it down in a journal is really helpful as well. So those are some practices that I would encourage, but I'll talk a little bit more about that after my last question. The last thing, what you're looking forward to is looking forward to what's good in the future. The last part here, or the last question, is what's good? What's good right now? And for me, what's good right now is being here with all of you. This is really a privilege. It's an honor for me to have been invited to speak with young minds like you, to have the opportunity to share some thinking that I hope will give you a different perspective on how to handle some of the thoughts and ideas and ways of processing the things that you're thinking. So that's good for me right now. Is there anything good for anybody right now? And sometimes people struggle with this in the moment, and maybe sometimes for older people who have think too much, they make it way too complicated. But really, even what's good is just being indoors, having clothes and shelter and all of these things. These are all good things, and sometimes we take it for granted. So I'll just leave those three questions with you. What's good really is looking at what's good right now, and really looking at that practice rather than always looking backwards or looking forwards is just looking exactly where you are, and just practicing, noticing the good things that are surrounding you. That becomes very helpful. Now, if there are any of you out there that maybe feel like, oh, like answering these questions are a little bit difficult. I'm having trouble with them. I can't do it very well. How many of you have thought to yourself, maybe not specifically about this, but just that you can't do something? Have you ever had that thought? Maybe you're learning something new and you're like, I just can't do this. Sometimes we end up in that place sometimes, right? That is absolutely a natural process. We go through that all of the time. And I'm going to share with you one little bonus tip. I know I said I was going to share just one thing, but I'm going to share with you a little bonus tip for specifically that situation when there's something that you feel like you can't do, or that even something that where you might identify yourself as being a certain way. This will kind of move you away from that. So what I'm going to share with you is this one here. The one super word that changes everything. Whenever you think I can't, change and add the word yet at the very end. So, one of my favorite stories about this is actually with my kids. I have two kids, they're 10 and 12 years old now. But a number of years ago, we were sitting there and eating dinner, and the kids turn to me and they say, I don't like vegetables. I don't like vegetables. How many people feel the same? Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. When I was younger, I did not they weren't my favorite. I preferred other foods. But what I said to my kids then was, you don't like vegetables yet. You don't like vegetables yet. And I had them repeat that to themselves. And when I first said that, they said, what? What do you mean? It was a little bit confusing for them. But if you think about it, if you say, I don't like vegetables yet, really what it means is, well, maybe I don't like it right in this moment, but maybe tomorrow or the next day or the next day, I can learn to like them, or I can find a vegetable that I like. And I know for me, maybe it took, I don't want to say like 10 years to really start enjoying vegetables, but it is something that really changed how I thought about that, and I think it changed how my kids looked at their vegetables. Yeah. So anytime that you feel like you are not able to do something, that you can't do something, just add yet and understand that you're in the process of learning. So if you're not completely comfortable, I think everything that you're doing in this group is great, where you're running this group and having these conversations where you're building each other up. Sometimes we don't feel ready. And you may say, I don't feel ready yet, but I will do this thing or that thing, and I will keep practicing until I feel completely ready. So this is just one really good way of thinking about when we get stuck sometimes, reminding ourselves that it's not permanent. That's what this means to me. So, how do we use this in our everyday life? Well, start small. The appreciation, the gratitude, thinking about what was good yesterday, what you're looking forward to, and what's good now really can start small, right? It can be, like I had a warm shower today. I appreciate that. It can be, I was able to stay indoors today because it was really hot outside. I appreciate that. So really start small. Appreciate often. Sometimes if you're sitting around and you have nothing to do, just take a moment and look around and just start listing off things in your mind that you appreciate. And then just repeat this over and over again. The practice of doing this over and over again, I find what has happened for me is rather than always looking for the worst in every situation, is to start to look for some things that are really positive and really good about the different situations that I find myself in. And when it becomes more automatic and it becomes unconscious, where I think what I noticed was there was a point where I shifted from kind of looking at the bad side of things and looking at the worst outcomes to just automatically thinking that the more positive side. So even the writing a test, for example, right? Even if you have a couple days and you know your test is in a week, you can appreciate that you still have a week to study. You may feel like doing other things in that time, but you do have that time. You can appreciate that. Even if it's the day before, you can appreciate that you have a whole 24 hours to study. Sometimes that timing feels short, but looking for that will reset rather than worrying about, oh, I only have 24 hours left. Appreciating that you have that time. And the more that you practice this, the easier that it gets. I like the idea of starting small because I think that a lot of times we want to reach a destination or we want to reach a goal that seems very far away. And how do you get to a goal that's very far away? Well, I'll use an example from a trip that we took as a family a number of years. It was last year, last October. We went to Japan and we visited this place called Fushimi Inari. It's a shrine. And really what the shrine is it looks like this is just one section of the shrine. And what this place is known for is for having lots of these gates. Each one of these gates is called a torii gate. And at this shrine, there are over 10,000 gates. 10,000. This is a map of this is a picture of a map that I took of this shrine. And really, you can see it goes up a mountain, all the shrines. So what we were doing, you start at the base, at the very bottom down there, and we have to get to the top. This is very much like reaching a goal that you want to reach. You have a big goal, you want to get up to the next level. How do you get to the top? Sometimes we struggle. I don't know if any of you feel sometimes impatient. You're like, I want to be in that other place now. I want to have the big thing, maybe. You know, when I was that age, I wanted to get into university. And then after university, I wanted to get into my professional school. And then after that, I wanted to get a job. And all of those things took time. There really was no way to get to that end goal without taking one step at a time. So I'll talk to you a little bit about that while I show you this this video that I have queued up. So this is me taking one step at a time, walking through these gates. Walking, and you can see all the different gates there, and every step really getting closer to the destination. When I think about how you make big change, I love the theme of today being the change that you want to see. How do you be the change that you want to see? I think the first step is making that decision to go ahead and be the change. When you make that decision, then it just becomes one step after another, over and over again, repeating, continuing to be that change. And eventually, you're going to end up at a place up the mountain, at the top of the mountain. And from up there, you'll have a completely different perspective. So I think it's the same with anything that you want to do. If you want to be the change, whatever that change is, practice it, do it every day. With this practice of appreciation, remember to do it every day. Or when you remember to do it, take the time to do it. It sounds simple, but really it's the thing, that piece where you're taking action. If all you did was just think about doing things, if I was at the bottom of this mountain and all I thought all I did was think about getting to the top without taking a step, I would still be at the bottom. So that's how those two things work together, where you think about what you want to do, and then you actually go ahead and do them. And then tying back to the idea of good or bad thoughts, if you look at these two pictures here, you might look at this and say, you know, one is better than the other. But, you know, some people really don't like the sun, and they really may prefer an overcast day where it's cooler, hanging out in the forest. You may find that depending on what you really prefer, you may prefer one side over the other. So that highlights again how your perspective and how you approach things and how you decide to look at things, how you make that choice. That really becomes important in understanding your perspective. So just like that optical illusion that I had showed you, where there was the young or the old lady, your perspective changes what you see. When you change your perspective, what you see changes. So this is the same for any experience that you might have. You can't change what happens, but what you can change is how you feel about it. And changing how you feel about an experience may help you change what happens next. I'm going to share with you just two quotes that I really enjoy, just to finish off this workshop here. And the first one is, "The only constant is change. The only thing that ever stays the same is the fact that things are always changing." Sometimes it's hard to feel this because we sit in a place and we feel a very certain way, but really you're constantly growing and constantly expanding. You're having new experiences that build on top of each other, and it keeps you moving forward. The last thing that I will share with you is the idea that the only thing that you can change is yourself. And when you change yourself, everything changes. So when you are the one who makes that decision to go ahead and walk forward and take those steps forward, climbing up the mountain, moving towards your goal, when you get to the top of the mountain, you'll realize that your perspective has changed and that everything is different. So focus and understand that even where you are right now, with everything that you have, you have all the resources that you need. You are capable and perfect at the level that you are, and you're constantly growing with every step that you take. I want to thank you so much for your time and for your attention today. And just a final reminder to just keep moving forward and take that one step at a time. If you have any thoughts, questions, comments, I'm happy to stay on for a little bit. I'm not sure what your timing is like. And if you wanted, I can also go through some silly memes that I put together that really are just about silly fun. Yeah? Okay. I'll take maybe, how much time should I take? Another 10 minutes or so? 5, 10 minutes? Yeah? Oh. Okay. All right. So I'll take some time now to go over some of the other ideas that I wanted to introduce. I didn't want to make it too complicated. I think that one thing about appreciation is very important to me. I think I'll share that it was important to me because during the pandemic, working as a pharmacist, I was working in the front line helping take care of people with just their regular medical conditions and all of their other things that was happening with the pandemic. And it was a little bit frustrating. So when I spoke to a friend of mine, he really told me about this idea of appreciation, and I looked deeply into it. I think that appreciation is such a great way of resetting, and even not to say that you know, it's the solution that will change everything. But the more that you focus on that, the less time and the less energy you have to put to other places like worry and anxiety. It's good to acknowledge them and say that, yes, they are there, and then focus on the things that you appreciate. Some of the other things that I wanted to go over, like bigger concepts, I'm just going to throw these up and I'll just talk to them. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to put your hand up or just unmute yourself and jump in. So this, you might recognize this character I put on here, conscious directs unconscious power. And that's just kind of reiterating that point of deciding and thinking about where you want to focus your attention, what do you want, so you can understand your intention, and it can use your unconscious resources to kind of give you the answer. So just like you ask yourself questions, it will give you those answers. And that's really one of the best ways of using it, is to begin to ask good questions and trust the answers that you're getting from your unconscious. One of the funny things is when we talk to our unconscious, sometimes at first, when you're not comfortable with it, you feel like the answer isn't exactly correct, or you want to change it. Sometimes I guess I would think of it as thinking like having thoughts and just trying to think your way through a problem, even though you know inside, intuitively, like a gut feeling, knowing that it's a different answer. So that's really one of the memes. Another one is here, where I think there's different levels. Understanding where your attention is very surface level. It's a small part of your all your mental processes. Then you have your body, where you can feel, right? You can feel and touch and experience different things. Then deeper down, you have your memories, which is even more expansive. And then finally, thoughts and feelings, new things that are generated all the time, whether it's feelings of happiness or joy or hunger or just whatever else you might be feeling. So really, this is like all the different layers, and your attention, that conscious part that sometimes we spend a lot of time in thinking and talking to ourselves of like, oh, like maybe I should have done this or I should have done that. That becomes, sometimes we focus on that very small part and forget that we also have control of all of these other things when we focus our intention. Another fun one here is, I can use the internet, it's easy. And this was meant to say, like, you know, changing your mind is easy. It's as easy as choosing the right questions to ask yourself. And I guess this child is very excited about using his computer, so I thought it was kind of funny. Another one here, if you've seen the movie Avengers, you might recognize this. How do you change the website of your inner internet? How do I change what I see? Well, I'll tell you the secret. You change the URL. You change the question that you ask, you change what you type into the address bar, and it will give you a different set of information. One of the things sometimes that we get stuck on and that people get stuck on is that we keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And if I say it like that, it sounds kind of obvious. And yet at the same time, sometimes we tend to just go and keep just doing the same thing over and over again and wonder why something different isn't happening. Why is an interesting question. How many of you ask the question why? Do we ask why a lot? Why did this happen? Why am I feeling this way? Why this? Why that? Right? Why do I always ask why? Why is a good question to understand your intention, to kind of direct you to what you want. But sometimes we use it in a way of like, why did this happen? Or why are things this way? Trying to answer why will give you endless answers. Really, there are so many things, and we really can't point to the one specific thing, right? Like, if you've had that experience, you may find yourself asking, like, why this, why that, why the next thing and the next thing, constantly asking different questions of why. So the really it could be really any kind of thing. If it's like, you know, if I had a disagreement with a friend and say, why did they talk to me that way? Well, you could look at it on one level of like, you know, maybe they don't like me. Or it could be they had a bad day. Maybe something bad happened to them. Maybe they lost something and they weren't happy. There's so many possibilities that you may not know the exact reason for. So answering the question why can be a little bit difficult. That led me to make this one, which is why? Yes. Please. You know, I've been talking for this whole time and I appreciate you sharing that with me. I put my Okay. So tell me which ones that you haven't seen, because apparently I've missed some. You've seen this one. Yeah? I haven't showed you any of these. Okay, I'm gonna start it all over again. That's absolutely okay. Conscious directs unconscious power. I was like, oh, you all know this character. Okay. I like this better. I can see the smiles now, so that probably makes sense of why I wasn't sharing my screen. So this is Goku. He's collecting a spirit bomb, and really, he's consciously collecting all the power of all the people on Earth to, you know, to win his battle or whatever. But really, this is the same thing that we do, where our conscious directs what we think, directs what our unconscious, the rest of our mind, presents to us. Oh, I think this will make a lot more sense. Talking about things that you should be seeing rather than just talking without the images. This is the other one where I was talking about your attention is just a very small part of your mind. Your mind also feels your body. It controls your movements. It controls everything that you feel. That's the next level. There's your memories, the things that you remember. And then there's your thoughts and feelings. And then it's like, whoa. So your mind is expanding. So really, when you get down to thoughts and feelings, they don't end. It just keeps going and going. So really, you have access to all of that, and your attention and your intention can direct all of these other things below. And when you use all of those things together, it really can change how you experience the world. This is that funny kid that I was talking about that you probably didn't see. So that's kind of funny. And he says, I can use the internet. It's easy. So hopefully what I said earlier makes a lot more sense. It's kind of silly. I think the idea here is sometimes we feel it's hard to change our mind. Yeah. And it kind of ties into that last idea I was just talking about of just kind of going through the same thing over and over again. If we do the same thing expecting a different result, we'll probably get the result that we had before. So, sure, using the internet is easy. You want to find a different website, you change the website address that you put in. You want to change your thoughts, think something different. It sounds silly, but it's almost that easy. I don't think you've seen this either. This was the Avengers one where I asked, oh, you've seen Avengers and all of that. So, how do you change the website? Well, I'll tell you the secret. You change the URL. So, just speaking back to that same point, it's as simple. You want to see something different, change the questions that you're asking. I think changing those questions to something different is a really good practice. And that led me to put up this one on my screen, but not your screen, of this fun gorilla thinking about why do I always ask why? Right? Why do I ask why? Is it because I'm out of bananas? Is it because, I don't know, somebody took a picture of me? So, again, that question of why sometimes is not the best way to direct our attention because it focuses on a lot of external things. It's like, oh, why? Then it's like all sorts of other things that are kind of out of your control. And this was when I was talking about trying to answer the question, why don't the answers end? You could really think of any answers and really make it. So there's this person who's doing all these fancy calculations in their mind, trying to get to the bottom of this answer. Questions, again, that idea that I introduced earlier of qu words or questions and things are not necessarily, thoughts are not necessarily good or bad. It's just whether they're useful or not. So understanding why may help you understand your drive to do something. But if it's not getting to that point, there are better questions to ask. And that's when I put up this one here of why, right? Why? I'm not going to look. It's a very difficult question to answer, but what and how are much better questions to ask. So rather than why am I feeling this way, you might ask what led me to feel this way. And you may find a very specific thing. And how will I feel differently now? What will I do to feel differently? And how will that change how I feel? And these are very actionable kind of questions that you can get the answers to. So if you find yourself asking why, maybe change to think about how you might change the question to what or how, and ask that question instead and see what new answer you get for yourself. Maybe I'll show you a couple others. I have two more, just really quickly. This is a list of words to listen for. This, I think, is Gru from the Minions Despicable Me movies. So these are a couple words that you may want to listen for. But, don't, and try. But don't try. Why should I listen to this? Well, sometimes we use the word but when we actually mean and. If you've ever been at a restaurant and the food hasn't come out on time, you might have somebody come to you and say, oh, you know, I know that your food's not ready, but it's been really busy and, you know, I'll do it as fast as I can for you. Well, when they say, oh, you know, I'm sorry that I'm late, but, and then they give you a reason, what they're saying is, I'm sorry that I'm late, but I'm not actually sorry because I have a reason for that, right? When we say but, it often deletes what happens before it or it discounts the meaning of it. So instead of that, you could say, you know, look, I know that things are late. I apologize for that. And I'm going to do what I can to get you your food as fast as possible. So switching that little word and noticing when you say that word but, consider if you actually mean to be taking away the meaning of what you had just said. If you do, then you use but otherwise, you don't. The word don't is something to listen for, and usually this is around thinking about what you want. Oftentimes when, in my experience, when I ask people what they want, I usually get a list of things that they don't want. When I'm talking to patients about their medications or their medical conditions, I ask them, you know, what would they like for their health? And they might say, I don't want to take my medications and I don't want to have to measure this. I don't want to have to do this blood test. But it doesn't really tell you what you want. So listen for when you may be saying the word don't and consider the opposite of that, of saying actually what you do want, saying it in the positive. The word try is the last one that I'll touch on, and it's basically the idea of try sometimes will imply failure. So if I were to ask you to try to unmute your microphone right now, if I were to ask you to try to do that, and you were to follow my directions exactly, none of your microphones would be unmuted. Because if you did unmute your microphone, you didn't try to do it, you actually did it. So sometimes when we say things like, oh, I will try to do this or I will try to do that, there definitely is a meaning where I'm making an attempt to do something. But other times, for example, you know, hey, can you help me move my whole house? I'm moving from one house to another. Help me move all my furniture. And somebody might reply, oh, I'll try and be there. Or maybe, hey, I want to get fit. I'm going to try and go to the gym today. How often do you think you might go and exercise and go do that thing that you're trying to do? It's a nice, convenient way of saying, oh, hey, maybe I won't do it. But really, I think noticing how you're using that word try and replacing it with either do or I will do it or I won't do it. And that way you can be a lot more clear with yourself. Let me see if there's any. The last one that I'll share with you is this one. This one I think is pretty popular. It's Arthur clenching his fist. And the idea here, I'm using it to share with you the idea of letting go. Sometimes we hold on to ideas and certain ways of thinking, and it's okay to have things that you hold on to. Sometimes we hold on to things that are not good for us, and we're afraid of letting it go because of, for whatever reason, we don't think that we can get it back, or we don't think that it's going to be lost forever. But really, you can always let go because you can always pick it back up. Getting to a place where you're comfortable to let go is a very powerful place. And I'll give the example of public speaking. If I were to hold on to my feelings of nerves, of being anxious about, you know, what an audience might think when I get in front of them, if I hold on to all of that and I go up into a presentation holding that, it becomes very difficult to do what I need to do. Now, letting go of it, it sounds too simple. But I can let go of that feeling and stop, like, let go of the idea of feeling anxious and put that aside and think about something else for a moment. And I can always pick it back up. I can always feel anxious again if I wanted to. But that practice of letting it go, and sometimes, again, just like that practice of practicing appreciation, if you let it go, you can let it go for a short while. You may think of it even as, I'll just place it down on my desk, or I'll place it down on the floor, and I'll leave it there for a moment. I'll turn my attention, I'll direct my intention somewhere else. And if you didn't need that thing that you had just put down, you could always leave it there. It's always there for you, but you really don't need to pick it up again. So that brings me to the end of my memes and sharing all of those things. So thanks for, number one, giving me some additional time to go through some of this. I hope that the information was interesting for you. And number two, thank you so much for letting me know that I was not putting this up on the screen, so that I wasn't just talking about memes instead of showing you them as well. So I want to thank you again so much for inviting me and having me here for this workshop. I appreciate all of your attention, and happy to take any questions if you wanted to chat about anything.